the presence of the Most High God, to feel the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit around you, to be obedient to what the Word, what the Holy Spirit tells us. Thank you, Brandon, for that word that you delivered. Thank you, David, for the praise and for the confirmation thereof. Thank you, Daniela and Timothy, once again, for leading us in the most awesome worship. I pray that the Lord blesses you and uses you for the furtherment of His kingdom. In Jesus' name. I'm not a numerologist, and numerology is not a passion of mine. I don't spend hours and hours looking at the numbers in the Bible. I don't study gematria. But numbers are important to God, and I believe that He wants me to share the next 5 minutes with you just as an introduction into what is in store for us in 2016. What we will look at is the numbers that correlate to the Hebrew letters, okay? And what those letters represent. We've got some of these things up on the board. That's what they look like. And we're in the year 2016. So there you've got the numbers 20, 10, and 6. When you're looking at the 20, it is made up of two tens. It could be made up of two tens. And when you look at the 16, it is made up of a 10 and a 6. So if I start with the first image that's there, it's the let's go back a little bit to the highlight, the first one, thank you. That is the letter Kaf in the Hebrew alphabet. It is the 20th letter. The meaning of that 20th letter is the palm of the hand. That is what it stands for. The symbol stands for the palm of the hand. The two letters that make up the word Kaf actually mean actual and potential. So if you think of the human hand and what it is actually capable of doing, the potential that can be unlocked by the Holy Spirit is the potential. The next letter is the letter Yod, and it is the 10th letter. The number 10 in the Word of God stands for completeness. It stands for quorum. It stands for God's order. The Hebrew symbol signifies work, prayer, and worship. The 6th Hebrew letter is Vav, and it symbolizes a hook or a fastener. Think of something like a tent peg. The number 6 has strong biblical associations with man. Man was created on the 6th day. Man works for 6 days. If I read from Exodus 27, from verse 9, it says, "You shall make the court of the tabernacle. For the south side there shall be hangings of the court made of fine woven linen, 100 cubits long. And its 20 pillars and their 20 sockets shall be bronze. The hooks of the pillars and their bands shall be silver." So that is an indication of where it was used as a tent peg. A tent peg fastly secures a tent down when there's a time of storm. When the wind comes, that is what holds that tent in place. The first time that letter Vav was used in the Bible occurs in Genesis 1:1. And its placement suggests a joining of heaven and earth. And therefore, that means there's a connection between spiritual matters and earthly matters. It is also associated with a divine hook. There's a divine hook between the heavenly realm and the earthly realm. Now is the time for us to hook into God, to connect with our rock, Jesus Christ. He is our solid ground. He's the one that is going to keep us steady in the storms of life. That number 16 can be looked at as two eights as well. And that's what those two figures are there for. It's the 8th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's the letter Chet. I might not be pronouncing all of these things correctly, but you get the picture. It is the doorway to life. Do you agree that that looks like a doorway? It speaks of spending time in community. It speaks of unity. It speaks of spending time together. When we do that, we are going to see the gates of heaven open and we can enter into God's house together. 8 is the number of grace. It is a number of new beginnings. Those are the numbers in our Gregorian calendar. It's a calendar that we adhere to. But I also want to have a look at some of the numbers in the Hebrew calendar. And I just want you to have a look if there's any correlation between the numbers here and the numbers from the Hebrew calendar. The Hebrew New Year started already in September 2015, and they are in the year 5776 already. The fifth Hebrew letter is the letter Hey, or it's actually pronounced Chay. It shows God in man. And we see that when Abram was changed to Abraham, and when you have Sarai changed to Sarah, all that was changed in their names, the Hebrew letter Chay was added. And it speaks of Christ's salvation in us, and us opening our hearts to the Spirit of God, to the Holy Spirit. Five in the Bible speaks of the fivefold ministry. Ephesians 4 tells us, He himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers. When God comes into your life, you are going to be transformed. He has a fivefold ministry, and that means that there's place for every single one of us to do something. There's some form of work that God will use us for. The number seven is a Hebrew word, Zayin. It speaks of a sword. It speaks of war, and it speaks of food, and warring sometimes for food. It's not necessarily a physical food, okay, but it can be in a spiritual sense to be nourished with rest. We need to do spiritual warfare. Seven is the number of completion, wholeness, blessing, and rest. On the year of double seven, we can expect a double portion of those things. If you look at the characters just below that, it looks like they're wearing crowns. So Zion is also the crowned man. The crowned man is Jesus Christ. Below the crown, it looks like a sword. And that speaks of Jesus Christ. He's the one that fights for us. He is the Lion of Judah. We cannot be moved if we are united on that rock, Jesus Christ. Six speaks of the tent peg again. We're not going to cover it. I spoke about it already. But I believe it's time to get to work. God wants us to get to work with His work. The work of God, not the work of man. That is not from God. It is a time for us to go to war spiritually. To surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ so He can fight on our behalf. Our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty in God. It is time for us to make sure that we are securely fastened to the rock, Jesus Christ. He's the one that is going to keep us stable when the storm comes. I believe that as we unite in unity as a people together, we will enjoy a double portion anointed blessing from the Lord. And last, that is just what I wanted to say. And I believe the Lord specifically told me to share that with you. Where I got a lot of the research from on the next slide is just a website. There's plenty of this stuff all over the internet. But that website I found specifically useful. So if you want to do some more research, you're welcome to go and have a look at that. God doesn't expect us to go through life alone. He doesn't expect us to face the challenges and endure the hardships alone. He promises to always be with us, and the Word tells us this, so it must be true. In Joshua 1:5, it says this, No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. When we look in the Word, we can see that He has always been with us, and He will be with us forevermore. God is the Alpha and Omega, and He is truly so. If we look in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis, okay, I've got these scripture verses up here, and if you want, let's read it together and honor God by doing that. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. If you look at what that word Spirit means in the Hebrew dictionary, a Strong's Hebrew dictionary, it is breath, it is exhalation, it is a life, it is a spirit. That is what that Hebrew word means. Before anything was here, God was, and His Spirit was hovering over the waters. I then turned to the last page in my Bible, and I came across Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him who hears, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And when I looked up that Greek word, because that was now written and translated from Greek, it is the word pneuma, and that means a current of air, a breath, a breeze, a spirit. It means exactly the same as that first spirit that hovered across the waters. So praise the Lord, because he is always with us, even until the end. I want to take some time looking at how the Holy Spirit has been helping man through the ages. If we consider Joseph, Joseph was sent to prison for a false accusation of having an adulterous affair with Potiphar's wife. We don't know how long he was in prison for, but if you look at the dates, you can deduce from that it's a couple of years that he spent in prison. But there came a time when Pharaoh had a dream that no one could interpret it. And somebody remembered him, and he came out. They took Joseph out of prison. And when he was standing in front of Pharaoh, this was his testimony. From Genesis 41:16, "And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, 'It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace.'" So as soon as Joseph was taken out of prison, they washed him, they cleaned him, they shaved him, they got him ready, because you can't just go before Pharaoh looking like a criminal. He knew God would give the answer. He did not touch the glory of God. He gave all the credit to God on Most High. This speaks to me of a relationship that even though the man spent a couple of years in prison, wasn't broken, he still retained that relationship with the Lord. And even as he gave that interpretation, Pharaoh, who was an idol-worshipping non-believer, recognized something in Joseph. If we read Genesis 41:38, "And Pharaoh said unto his servants, 'Can we find such a one of this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?'" So Pharaoh recognized that he had the Spirit of God in that prisoner in front of him. The Spirit of God is what enabled Joseph to do what he did, nothing else. How is your relationship with God? Are you ready and available when he says the time is right to be used by him? And I tell you, I ask these questions of myself just as much as I ask these questions of you all. In Exodus 31 from verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting of jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship." God had anointed that man to work with his hands. Not for his own glory, but for the glory of God. You see, the tabernacle instructions were given. It was very specific. It was very precise, the way the tabernacle had to be built, finished, and decorated. It had to be done with hands of a man, but those hands had to be anointed by God to be able to do that work. Bezalel had completed his trade test under the guidance of the Spirit of God. In 2 Chronicles 15, we read that now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. If you forsake him, he will forsake you." In that example, we are seeing that the God has given a man the Spirit of God, okay, to anoint him to deliver a message. That anointed message had an effect. And we read that in the same chapter in the 8th verse. When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage. He was encouraged. He removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin. He cleaned up his act from all the cities which had taken the mountains of Ephraim, and he restored the altar of the Lord. And they went back to worshipping the one true God. The fact of the matter is this: the word of God does not go out void. It returns and accomplishes what God wants it to prosper. It accomplishes what pleases God. Let us ask ourselves, what messages are we speaking out? Is it our own messages of gossip, slander, hatred? What are we speaking out? or are we speaking anointed messages of exhortation and hope? In the Old Testament, we see many examples of the Spirit of God being used by God using His Spirit to empower man to do things. But after that job was done, that Spirit went away. It was not a permanent thing. Let's read together from Luke 24:49. Please read with me if you want. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from on high." Oh, sorry. Hang on. I read the wrong verse, didn't I? John 14:16. Thank you, sorry. "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, because He dwells with you and He will be in you." Jesus Christ Himself made us that promise. Okay? Before He was crucified, that the Helper would come. After He was crucified and He rose, 40 days later, He ascended back to heaven. And just before He left, He said this to the people in Luke 24. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with a power from on high." Acts records the event as follows. "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So we know Pentecost happened 50 days. So it was 10 days later. So for 10 days, they sat in the upper room in Jerusalem. The disciples, the woman, Jesus' mother, His brothers, altogether they were about 120. That is as the Bible records it. What were they doing for 10 days in the upper room? I do not believe they were just sitting there waiting. They continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They were unanimous in their prayer and their worship. It was oratory, it was vocal. They worshipped and they prayed together. 120 people, picture it, 120 people at a 10-day prayer meeting. Surely the power of God must fall. It was then that the prophecy of Joel came to be. Because in Joel 2, it is written, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants, on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said among the remnant whom He has called." I want you all to pinch your arm. Pinch it like this. What do you feel? Is it flesh? Is everyone here made of flesh? I do believe we are. The Holy Spirit is for every single person sitting here, and even those that are not sitting here. We are all made of flesh. The Holy Spirit is for every single one of us. The Word gives us many ways in which the Holy Spirit is received. Acts 2 records it like this. Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit by baptism. In Acts 10, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. So while Peter was preaching a message, the Holy Spirit fell, and whoever heard the word received the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 19, when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. People, the Holy Spirit is for everyone, all nations, all races, men, women, and dare I say, even children can have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I find it interesting to watch the people of South Africa. I love it. I was speaking to a friend recently, and he also said, hey, I like sitting in the shop and just watches the people. I like watching people. Huh? And I love the people of South Africa. South Africa is a hot country. Sometimes it reaches 35 or 40 degrees Celsius out there. Do you know what we do in South Africa when it's hot like that? We go outside and light a fire. You got a fire going there? That's what we do. We turn up the heat. Church, it is time to turn up the heat. It is time to turn up the heat. It is time to have the fire of God in us. It is time for the Holy Spirit to fall in this place and anoint every single person in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit is represented by fire. The presence of God is represented by fire. Moses met with a burning bush in Exodus 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. Leviticus 9 said, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. I can only imagine it. They'd built this wood pile and the offering was on there and then fire came down and consumed it. I will also fall on my face and worship the one true God. Hebrews 12:29 confirms it, for our God is a consuming fire. And you've got everyone here sat in front of a fire. I know as youngsters we used to play with a fire. What happens when you take a piece of iron and you stick it in the fire? It gets hot. Eventually it gets red hot. When you place the steel in the fire goes into the steel. When you place the steel, I'm going to say it again. When you place the steel in the fire goes into the steel. If you place yourself into the fire will go in you. If you place yourself in the Lord's presence will go in you. If you place yourself in a place of availability for the Holy Spirit, what is going to happen? The Holy Spirit will come into you. Amen. The mystery of Christ in me is what the Holy Spirit empowers. Colossians 1:27 says this, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The most fascinating change in the New Testament of the receivers of the Holy Spirit is the fervor with which they preach the gospel. They faced torture. They faced being burnt at the stake. They faced being fed to lions just for being caught believing in Jesus Christ. Just for being a believer, they faced death, painful death. But regardless of that, they were filled with the Spirit. And it is that Spirit that made them preach the gospel as far as they went. Amen. Let's give the Lord an amen. Amen. That's what we need. We need that Holy Spirit to allow us to go and preach the gospel as far as we go. Wherever we go, we need to speak the word of God. Over every situation, we must confess the word of God. Over our children, we must pray the word of God. Because those people persisted in that day, we've got the gospel to preach today. It's not going to disappear. It will be like that forevermore. We will always have the gospel. It will never stop. People will not stop preaching the gospel. Do you know how I know that? Because the Spirit of God is here till the end. And as long as the Spirit of God is here, the gospel will be preached. Romans 8. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Praise the Lord for that. That same Spirit that can raise the dead back to life dwells in us. That same Spirit. John 14, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified through the Son. Whatever we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, he will do. David preached about faith. What are you asking God for? What are you asking God for in the name of Jesus Christ? As your faith is, let it be so. Don't hold God back. He can do anything. Anything. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. All generations forever and ever. This is for everyone. For all generations forever and ever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ made us this promise. Do you think Jesus keeps his promises? Amen. I know. He keeps his promises. I prayed to him and he made me promises. And I tell you today, some of those promises were met in Jesus' name. Jesus Christ made that promise. He promised unusual miracles, works beyond what we can think of. So whatever you can think of, God can do more than that. So if you've got a sore hip and you're asking God to fix it, he can do more than that. If you've got cancer, he can do more than that. He can heal you and fix you and do more than that. If you've got financial lack, he can give you abundance. He can do it. Do not limit God. Never limit God. That word that they use in that scripture, super, in the Greek, it means super abundant. Not just abundant, super abundant. Excessive. Superior. God is superior. Beyond measure. Who knows that God is beyond measure? That is what that expressive Greek word means. To do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. The Holy Spirit has always been available for God to use since the beginning of time. God used the Holy Spirit to empower ordinary people in the Old Testament to perform good works, to bring messages, to interpret signs and dreams. And they even won miraculous wars by the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ did not die in vain. We celebrated Jesus Christ today. He did not die in vain. He did not die and come back to life again on the third day for nothing. The Holy Spirit is part of the promise of Jesus Christ to us. The New Testament followers of Christ are filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered to preach the gospel, to spread the news, and also to perform miracles, healing, and we just have to ask God for the Holy Spirit to make these things possible. We just have to ask God. Last year we had some pregnant ladies in the congregation. Some of them were Helen, Tembeka, Tembi. This is the same for all pregnant ladies. First, we didn't know they were pregnant unless we were specifically told. But eventually, it became obvious that they were expecting. We knew that a baby was coming. How did we know? Because we saw the signs. There were signs there. It is the way God has made it. He ordained it like that. He promised it. If he promised it, that's what's going to happen. When we come to the house of the Lord, do we come with an expectation? Do you come with an expectation? I know I do. When we meet for prayer, do we gather with an expectation? When we ask God for something, do we wait with anticipation and expectation? I'm urging you, church, get expectant. Come with an expectation for the Lord to move. Come with an expectation to see Jesus Christ touch people. Come with an expectation to see Jesus heal people. Do we have an expectation in our lives to see the miracles of God? I believe we do. I believe we do. Is there people here with an expectation today? I came with an expectation. I walked in here. I've had an expectation for a long time. And Jesus has met that expectation. Well, one of them anyway. And I have more expectations. I have an expectation that God pours out His Holy Spirit on every single person that is here today. I can't do it. I'm like Joseph. It is not in me. But God can give you an answer. Bear in mind that whatever we can think of, God can do more than that. Whatever you can think of, whatever you think of asking the Lord for, please remember always that He can do more than that. I want to call you forward today if you want us to pray for you. If you have an expectation for God to touch you in whatever way, okay? I'm going to give you an opportunity, please. Perhaps if you can play something nice on your guitar, something worshipful. And I just want to give us an opportunity that if there's anyone here who would like to come forward, for us to pray for anything. We don't want to limit God. I'm not limiting God today. For anything, we are going to ask God to fall in this place and to make His love known to every single person that is here, to bring healing, to show us miracles, and to touch you in the way that you want God to touch you. That is my prayer today. So I want to ask you now, please, if you want to come forward for prayer, please do so now. For whatever prayer you require, come forward.
Let the weak say, I am strong.